We've been adopted into the family of God, right? Not just adopted as sons of God, but as part of His Christian or church family. We started teaching last week about the purpose of covenant in the body of Christ. Because when you got saved, we found out when you got saved, it was more than just, you know, becoming a child of God. God also, through that being born again experience, said He's now connected you to a whole body of believers. Amen? In covenant. In other words, an unbreakable bond, a relationship between God and believe those that you're in church with, right? And when I use the word covenant in America, a lot of people really don't know what you're talking about because we're not a covenant understanding nation. Many nations live by covenant. We live by judges and attorneys and contracts and loopholes. But in many nations, especially in the past where there was not a legal system like we have, they were dependent upon men's word of bond. And when two men came into a covenant, it became an unbreakable bond where they would shed blood in the making of covenant to represent what would happen to one that broke that oath. Do you follow me? And so even your wedding rings, originally the wedding rings, because when you come into a marriage relationship, that's a covenant. Remember, till death do us part? Those words are birthed out of the old covenant language that says this was until one of you is gone, unless somebody breaks the terms of the covenant, right? And so originally the wedding rings were not removable like we have them here. They're actually cut into the flesh, and they would rub soot or some type of dye into the wound so it would create a permanent ring around the finger, the thumb, whatever part of the body the marriage mark was put on. And usually with the covenant, they have a big ceremony. There'd be a meal, there'd be representatives, there'd be words spoken between the two tribes or groups regarding the covenant made. And actually in the United States, we do understand that when a husband and wife marry, in most cases, the woman takes the husband's last name. Well, that was part of the covenant. You became one family. You became part of that family. Here it says, we are adopted into the family of God, which means it's not a thing to be taken for granted. I don't know, has anybody here ever adopted any children? Any of your adoptive parents? Well, I'm sure you've met some, and as I have. And you know when they adopt a child, they don't take it lightly. Something you weigh heavily, do I want to adopt this child? Do they want us? Are we really going to become a genuine family that this is like one of my children that I birthed myself? Because that's what adoption means. And when God says, I've adopted you into my family, He took it seriously, and he actually considers you as much your child. Listen to me. He considers you as much His child as Jesus. You've been adopted in the family of God. But when you're adopted into a family, you're not just adopted with those parents. You're adopted with all the children they have. So if you're born again, you're not just in a relationship with God. You're to be in a relationship with all of the church that you belong to. Amen. Without strife, without division, without jealousy, envy, animosity, offense. We're called to be one body, one blood, one vision. Amen. Now again, in America, we have problems with this. Sandy, do they understand covenant in the Philippines? I saw you nodding your head a minute ago. In the Philippines, they understand covenant more than they do here because they're dependent upon it. And so in America, you know, I was raised up, we never talked about covenant. My parents never said anything about covenant. Didn't know what it was. So instead we had sayings like, well, I know I said I would do that, but I had my fingers crossed. As little kids, right? What were you saying? You were saying, I know my words were supposed to say I would do this, but because I was able to cross two of my digits, my word is no longer valid. How many of you heard this one? Well, I know I said that, but we didn't shake on it. So now when you touch palms, all of a sudden now your words are reliable. Do you follow me on that? And many nations, when you come into a covenant and you speak words with a covenant, it means your life is dependent upon following through with your part of that covenant. Amen. So in America, we grew up with those kind of mindsets. So when we would make a contract, and somebody wanted to break it, they would say, well, you didn't read the small print. Right? Or they'll find loophole attorneys that can break contracts. Well, that's not covenant-type mentality. Amen? And when you came into the church, it was meant to be something that was permanent. Now, I told my mother this joke. She thought it was funny the other day. I'm sure I've told it to you guys about the guy that was on a desert island for like 20 years. And they finally rescued him. And when they got to the island, there were three houses there. Three buildings. So they asked him, what are the three buildings? He said, well, the first one, that's my house. That's where I live. He said, well, the second one, that's the church I go to. They said, well, there's a third building. You're all by yourself. Why is there a third building? He says, that's the church I used to go to. Amen. And so we in America, because we don't understand covenant, we play musical church. You know, somebody hurts our feelings a little bit, or, you know, rubs us the wrong way, or we don't feel right. Well, let's just run to another one. Let's find another pastor. And the ministers can't speak into your life because next thing you know, you feel threatened or hurt. Or... Amen. And it's a sign of not knowing covenant. When you go to other nations, which I have, the people, because they know covenant at a much higher level, the churches are much stronger. And they don't play musical church like they do here. You recognize they've come into a bond. They've said, this is my church. You get to find the church you're to belong to. But when you get there, until God tells you otherwise, I'm telling you clearly, or there's something really wrong, you should be bound to that church and support it. Amen. Now, it sounds like, Pastor Jack, you're trying to control people. You're trying to tell people they got to stay here. They can't move. No, I'm trying to tell you that when God brings you into covenant, there's advantages. See, in the marriage covenant that you came into if you're married, there's advantages to being married you don't have when you're single. And I'm sure some single people, well, there's some advantages to being single as well. You're right. But when you came into the marriage covenant, you says, I'm going to stay in this. There are things that take place that are open to you, you don't have when you're single. You follow me? And I'm not trying to elevate one above the other. Paul said, you know, be as I am. I'm single at this time. And for the threats that are taking place right now against the church, it's better that we remain single. But some people would prefer to be married. I like being married. Amen? Because I like blessing my wife. I like to be her perfect man. Her bug-killing answer to everything. Amen. So there are positive things that take place when you come into the marriage covenant. Right? What I'm presenting now in this series we're in right now are advantages to being in covenant in the church. Because it's not that I'm trying to control you. I'm trying to tell you, if you really come into a covenant relationship with the church, there are spiritual blessings that can come upon your life that you will not have otherwise. Do you follow me on that? So we started going through some of these last week. And let's start again. Let's review very quickly what we talked about last week. One was, it bonds the body together. It brings you together and calls you to act as a member of the church, whether you feel like it or not. See, whether I feel like I'm giddy head over heels with my wife every day or not doesn't matter, although I always am. Amen. If there was a day I didn't feel giddy head over heels in love, I would still treat her the same. Why? Because that's what covenant is. I'm married whether I feel like it or not. I've done a lot of marriage counseling. And I have so many people come to my office and say, well, we just don't love each other anymore. I don't love him anymore. And I'm going, what does that have to do with the vows you made when you were married? Because you said to have and to hold, for richer, for poorer, sickness, health, right? Love, honor, cherish, till death do you part, whatever vows you made. And you said, I'm going to do this. Now, what does whether you feel like you love them today have to do with that? Because I've discovered if you'll stay in the relationship, the feelings will return. Because feelings are fickle. Feelings, you can be up one day and down the next. Everything, you can think you've got the world by the tail one day, and next thing you feel like, I just don't know how much more of this I can take. And so covenant was established to supersede our feelings, whether we feel like going to church. Feel like it was never meant to be your decision. Amen. Whether you feel like tithing wasn't meant to be your decision. Whether you feel like embracing everybody in the church and loving everybody here was never meant to be your decision. It was meant to be a covenant oath that you took as part of the church. Do you follow me? Then let me throw this in as well, because I know some of you have been divorced. Some of you going through some challenges. I totally believe in divorce when the covenant has been, fractured beyond repair. If one spouse is cheating, find you another version. Do you follow me? Now, if you want to make it work out, fine. But if your spouse is cheating, that covenant's been broken by them. You have a right, and Jesus confirmed this, that divorce was given for your hardness of heart, meaning the people that wouldn't follow through with their responsibilities. God told Moses, if somebody is divorced because they broke covenant, that the one that left is innocent. Do you follow me? So there's cheating going on. Hey, move on and find somebody that's going to be faithful. Because not all men have faith. Not all men are going to follow through with what they said. Do you follow me? But however, it shouldn't be an easy decision. It's something you just wake up one day and say, well, I just don't feel like I love them anymore. I think I'll find somebody else. There's a problem there. Amen. And I believe there's more than just cheating that is grounds for divorce. In fact, let me throw this out as well, because I always need to make this clear. We talk about the three A's: adultery, abuse. What do you mean abuse? I'm talking about physical abuse. And there's even a mental abuse to some level. Do you follow me? Well, he just got mad at me and he hollered, I got to leave. No, that's not abuse. That's you got sensitive feelings. Amen. I'm talking about somebody tearing you to pieces for a period of time. And physical abuse? If they physically abuse you, I don't think you got to hang around for another day. Because God didn't assign you to be somebody's punching bag. That's not having and holding, love, honoring, and cherishing. And then the third one we talk about, the third A, is abandonment. If they leave and they take off, you're free. And of course, some people abandon but don't even leave the house. So in the cases, talk to your pastors. Find out what's going on. Get some wisdom on the situation. So, we as Americans do not understand covenant like many nations do. Why? Because our divorce rate, even in the church, is like at 50%. There's something wrong with our covenant understanding. For one thing, if you understand covenant, you won't cheat. Because it's not in the covenant vows. So you follow me? Taking them only unto yourself so long as you both still live. That's not part of the covenant. So if you cheat, you don't understand covenant. And God's raising up a church in the end times that has to know covenant. Now, again, before I go any further, let me throw this in as well. Because we don't understand covenant in America, we as Christians, we get born again, we don't know how the church should be should run. See, we have a tendency to get saved and then go to church and think the church should function in the way we've always operated. Do you follow me? And they bring non-covenant understanding into the body of Christ. It's not going to work like that. So instead of having a body built together or fused together by covenant, instead we have to make it user-friendly. Let's don't preach anything hard. Let's don't stretch anybody. Let's make sure the services don't go more than about 45 minutes because people, they just won't sit that long. What is it? Why do you have to have a user-friendly church? Because people don't know that they've come into a covenant, and if they do, they don't know what the covenant is or what covenant is itself. Do you follow me? But when you really come into covenant, you recognize God's got a call upon you and upon the churches to be fulfilled, and you've really laid down your life on behalf of the cross, you'll do what's necessary to do your part to help that covenant succeed or that vision succeed. Do you follow me? So the first thing we talked about with covenant is it bonds the body together. It keeps you in position. You know, one of the most frustrating things that pastors or church leaders have to do is to deal with all the people that say they'll work with the kids or work with something, and they don't show up. Now, I'm going to say something. Nobody get mad at me. And I don't mean it to be this dramatic, but it's to make a point. I don't know about you and your marriage, but if one night my wife didn't come home, I'd be concerned. And, you know, say the next day she showed up about midday. She said, well, I just didn't feel like coming home yesterday. Her and I are going to have a serious talk. Do you follow me? And I'll probably apologize for what I did to cause her to feel that way. And we'll go on from there. I'm just... If I'm gone and I don't show up for a night and she doesn't know where I'm at, I'm in trouble. Big trouble. Because that's outside of covenant. But yet we treat church like, well, if I don't show up, they'll get somebody. What do we do? Hey, you know, if my wife didn't show up, I'll get somebody tonight. I told you it was dramatic. Please don't get mad at me. But I'm trying to make a point how we're cavalier with our church assignments and responsibilities and commitments. Nobody made you sign up. You follow me? And really, if you can't show up, call somebody, let them know, or find a replacement yourself. Do something to get the spot filled so that Grace or whoever is not struggling and running, trying to find somebody to fill the spot. Or Grace has to do it again, or Pastor Rebecca or my wife or whatever. Do you see this? It's a lack of covenant understanding. Again, this isn't to be a service where I'm rebuking anybody. I'm talking about generalities of knowing covenant. And I've been to churches where they know covenant and everybody's in position, way ahead of time, ready to serve what it, and you walk in, it looks professional. Amen. They've learned about covenant. And you go to many nations, it's like that. Some you go to, and they don't know covenant. And they say church is going to be at 7, and about 8:30 they're ready to have service. Do you know the Spirit of God's not going to move very heavy in that? Because God's a covenant God. So covenant bonds us together as the body. Even makes us great friends. Amen. And we refuse anything to rise up against us. Number two. It provides the foundation for growth of the body. We talked about this last week. Covenant, because we all come in and bring our giftings. We bring our the empowerments we've been graced with, whatever it might be, your talents. You bring them to church, and there's an interaction and a sharing of our spiritual giftings, of our even natural wisdom, spiritual knowledge. And it lets each of us grow at the maximum rate. Amen. Not to mention, I may be getting ahead of myself, but when you come into covenant in a church, you're really in covenant, it empowers the pastor and even the leaders to see over your life. Because this is a spiritual contract we come into. When you say, I'm part of that church, now God's going to put you on my heart to see over your life, to know things I need to be praying about or calling you about. I'll even know when some of you are not feeling good or having a problem. I may give you a call. Amen. Not to mention the support between us helps us all maximize our development. Amen. How many have grown since you came into covenant in this church? A whole bunch of us, right? And we feed off of each other, both naturally, natural information, and spiritual strength, anointings, and wisdom. Number three, go to Genesis chapter 2. Lord, help me share this without embarrassing my wife or anybody else. I would never want to do that. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to verse 24, and we read this here last week. Let's go to this again. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, Paul in Ephesians called this a great mystery. He said, however it happens, but God has placed something, how can I say, a spiritual law, that when a man and a woman come together in marriage, somehow they become knit together in heart. Amen? That's why divorce is so painful, because there's a tearing away of what got knit together, right? So he says, they become one person, they become one flesh. God considers a husband and wife one in his eyes because of the covenant they're in. And God considers you all one with His church if you come into covenant with it. Well, how do I come into covenant with that church? Just tell God, this is your church. You don't tell me anything. Just say, this is my church, God. I believe that's where you called me. Amen? Because it's not something we write down, okay, you have to follow this, you got to do this. It's something God knits in you, and now it's up to you what level you'll follow into it. Because I don't rebuke anybody on this. Amen. Only if you start stirring up trouble, right? Look at verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now I want to spend a little bit of time on this. The number three thing we're talking about that covenant provides for you is it provides a foundation for intimacy. Do you follow me? Let's talk about it first within the marriage bounds. Not only can I see my wife when we get home tonight, well, not tonight because I've got so much company. If my company was gone, we would get home. Patty would strip all the paint, put on her flannel pajamas or whatever. She'd kick back and say, oh, I don't have to impress anybody else tonight. It's just me and you. To put it, you follow me? And she gets to be her 100% around me. Why? We're married. And because we're married, there's a safety knowing I'm not going to go and tell everybody what she looks like without her makeup. Although she still looks beautiful. In fact, I usually can't tell when she got makeup on or not. Amen. I always say, you look great. What are you talking about? What are you concerned? And so, not only do we get to see each other when we're not at our best, we get to share our hearts like we would not normally do with someone. Do you follow me? I can share with her my dreams. I'm talking about, you know, my desires. I can share with her my fears. I can share with her my disappointments. Although you got to be careful what you share regarding our fears or disappointments. You don't want to put words to too many things. But I get to share who I am with her. I can tell her the stories of my past where maybe I've struggled that I maybe never tell you or the average person on the street. Why? Because she's my intimate partner. We're one, and it's like I'm talking to myself. Did you ever talk to yourself? Did you worry about what you said to yourself? I mean, you might be worried about the confession you make, but, you know, I walk around and say, that was really stupid. Why did you do that? That's stupid. Anybody else ever do that one? Well, I can tell her that was really stupid, you know. And I may not tell you the same thing. I may say, hey, it was all on purpose. No, I wouldn't lie about it. I get to be myself. In fact, in a family, which a family is a form of covenant, you would not believe the conversations we've had this week that I can't even share here tonight. Most is centered around unclean bodily noises. But the point is, this family is covenant conversation, and we share these stories all from our past, everything, and it knits us together. But it's an intimacy there that you wouldn't go to the donut shop and have these kind of conversations. The coffee shop, you know, well, this is a coffee. Why? Because covenant gives a foundation for intimacy. Well, how about the church? You may tell you what's different about this church that maybe you've not recognized yet, or maybe you have. You don't have to put on a facade. You don't have to carry some image, because most churches you go to and you walk and they say, how you doing? I'm blessed. How you doing? Oh, I'm just great. Jesus is wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the whole time you're there, you're uncomfortable. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever been to a really fancy banquet meal and you weren't even sure what fork to use? Did you have to pour your coffee in the cup to sip it like in the movies? What do you do, you know? And I remember going to a few of those years ago, and I'd be so uncomfortable. Like, I hope I'm not looking like a total social misfit. Did I even use the right fork? Elbows on a table. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about? Why? You were around people you weren't in covenant with. You didn't feel comfortable. But you go around a family meal or a meal with a bunch of friends. You don't care where your arrows are, what fork you use. You'll even stab the meat like that and eat it like this if you want to. Use your fingers, suck your fingers, whatever. Kentucky Fried Chicken, finger licking good, was for covenant people. So in this church, you get to be you. I don't, you know, listen, I've told you before, when I come in, I don't act like somebody different. I'm me. And my wife has been a Christian now for 33 years, has refused to ever act like anybody but herself the entire time. Because she won't do that. Amen. Patty's going to be Patty. And so we're not going to put on these airs or this image of we're so holy. We endeavor to live holy lives. Do you follow me? We live the Word. We follow the leading of the Spirit of God. But we get to be us. You know what's fun about that? We get to really know each other instead of some fake person. So I feel like everybody here, I know you to some level. If you've been here very long, I know you. I know how you respond, how you act, how you speak, what you like. And I'm not hearing like this, what do you like to do? I just like to read the Bible all day. I would never own a television set. And if I did, I would only watch spiritual programs. Has anybody ever seen that before in the churches? Yeah. And it becomes a competition who can, you know, always have the cleanest testimony to give about their life and everything. We enjoy ourselves at home. No alcohol. You follow me? Nothing sinful, but we have a good time and enjoy each other. Amen. Versus try to act like we're somebody that we're not. I mean, you're a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. Why would you not want to be you? And covenant gives you a protection for that. Again, I've heard I've been attacked in here for wearing Harley Davidson shirts behind the pulpit. How sinful. Yep. How horrible. I'll tell you what would be horrible is have to act like some spiritual nut. Get up with no anointing. Thank you, Jesus, for favor. Amen. Thank you for intimacy. So we get to really enjoy each other. And there's not a person here I don't love being with and talking to. Amen. Why? Because I'm talking to you and not a facade. We're not in the competition to be the most spiritual. We're endeavoring to live spiritual. Go from faith to faith and glory to glory, but not to compete each other with it. Amen. Or how can I say, one up the other person? We're not in a competition. We're here to help each other. Amen? So, in this church, there are no spiritual robots. And occasionally we have them come in. I told you about Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony's from London, England. He's been here for 20 years, 21, I guess. And about, I don't know, been probably about 3 years ago, he joined our ministry. And he came to our pastor's meeting. We have a pastor's meeting every Wednesday. If Pastor Callahan's in town, we have a pastor's meeting on Wednesdays. And all the pastors that are local that can come to the meeting, and we share about what's going on in our churches. We share the Word. We eat together, fellowship, just to keep connected, help each other. It's part of the covenant. Pastor Callahan's vision for the ministry was to have this interaction of the pastors. But the thing is we have fun in the meetings. You follow me? Now, I don't know if we've ever had a spitball fight in one of them, but we're not beyond it. So here, when Pastor Tony had first come in, he joined our ministry, or maybe he was considering it, and he was coming to the meetings, and Pastor Sherry, you guys know Pastor Sherry, every week we start with a reading of the Word. Usually a psalm or a proverb we'll read, or a chapter in the Bible. And we usually just start one and we just continue to read through the Bible or whatever section. Usually through the Psalms and Proverbs. And it was her week to read. So she's reading this psalm. And she, so, have you ever read some of the Psalms and wonder, that sounds really funny? Like, break their teeth, shatter their jaw, whatever, you know. She's reading the Psalm, and Pastor Jim keeps ribbing her as she's reading. Like, did you mean to say that? Are you really that mean? Whatever. I don't know what it was. And, oh, I remember she had shared about eating this huge ham. That's what it was. She had shared at the beginning of the meeting, because we'll spend the first 15 minutes just talking. We even open the meeting, waiting for people to come in, like you guys do here. And she'd shared about going to a restaurant, eating the biggest hamburger like she'd ever had, huge hamburger. And then she started reading a psalm, and it's one on gluttony. So Pastor Jim starts ribbing her. Then I start ribbing her. We're all just like, and you ate how big a hamburger? And finally, Pastor Tony had heard enough. He piped and he says, with his English accent, the best I can do it, I've never heard such frivolity in the reading of God's word. He's, but I like it. And now he's the biggest teaser and jokester in the whole group. Because yes, we're pastors, but we're going to enjoy the trip and not try to come in and say, well, my church is running this many people and we've seen this many signs and wonders. And we're there for each other. Do you follow them? Whatever one needs, we're there to supply what we can. And so it's that intimacy that we get to be us. Amen. And we've had a few pastors come and join us that when they came in, they were like starched shirts. And they're ready to read the word. And it's, I'm now reading out of God's word. Psalm 25. Da da da. You know, and we're like, because we recognize that spirit of, you know, trying to make it so holy and spiritual to read the Bible, which it is a spiritual thing, but you don't have to become somebody else to read it. Do you follow me? Read it and let the word change you as you are. And by the time they're with us very long, they become just as much caught up in enjoying the trip as we are. That's part of what covenant does when you really join the body. You get to be you versus try to impress people. And how many people, I mean, you've seen some since you've been, how many people come in and try to impress us? Well, yes, I'm a pastor with such and such ministry, and I've got these gifts in my life. And, you know, we believe God's called us here and such. When we feel like we're not impressed by the resume, we want to see what you do to flow in the anointing and to walk in love. Well, then God's called them somewhere else. See you, bye. Why? Because it's a covenant body. Amen. And we're to be who God made us. Number 4. Colossians chapter 2. Are you still with me? Now again, we're not going to get through this tonight. I've got 13 written down so far. We're 2 weeks. We're up to number 4. We could be a few weeks. Colossians chapter 2. And this is an important one. Go to verse number 4. Paul says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you or fool you or deceive you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And that's kind of an amazing statement. Because listen to me. If I have the right book, I don't believe Paul ever visited this church. It was a church that was founded, came under him. Do you follow me? Came under his ministry, his apostleship. He was really the apostle of the Gentiles. Yet he said, when I pray in the Spirit, I can see your order. I can see what's going on in the church. What's that talking about? Well, understand the Holy Spirit, when you got saved, came to live inside of you. Do you follow me? And as a pastor or an apostle, as Paul was, when somebody comes under the influence of your ministry, in other words, they come under you, because the same Spirit of God is in both of it, the Holy Spirit, because he recognizes government order, he recognizes divine orders, we call it. He will gift the pastor with giving him key information he knows he needs to know about that group or that person. In Paul's case, because he was an apostle, and when he would pray, God would show him that what was going on in the different churches. Amen. And I've witnessed this happen many times. Not just through me, but through other ministers. God will show you your people. And you'll know their spiritual status or standing, or even if they're not at church, what they're going through. Amen. So he said to the Colossian church, I recognize your order in the Spirit. He's commending them. In fact, the book of Colossians is one of the few books of the Bible where they're not rebuked. Again, if I remember right. So when you come into a church, you come into covenant. It gives the pastor to some level to see over your life. Well, don't want him seeing over my life. I'm a private person. Yes, you do want him seeing over your life. He's not showing what you're doing at the house. I'm not praying and seeing, you know, all the stuff you're involved in. But he'll show you when you're in trouble. Or when you're challenged. When you're going through a particular battle. Do you follow me? And many of you, I've called at a specific point in time you needed to call. Why? Because I would be praying, or even not praying, God would prompt me, call them now. They're going through something. And some of it, I'll even tell you what you're going through. Why? It's part of the gifting by the Spirit through word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to see what's going on in the flock. Amen? When Jesus was born, it says the shepherds were in the field, watching over the flocks by night. Well, pastors are known as shepherds, and God's gifted them to see over the flocks in their dark times. And you need that. Scripture says, if one is alone, if he fall down, nobody will pick him up. But if there's two, to paraphrase, the other can pick him up. And then this is a threefold cord is not easily broken. What that means is, for us, if you don't have a pastor, you're not in covenant with the church, you fall down, you're on your own. But if you have a pastor watching over you, one can pick the other up. In fact, it says we're to pick each other up, right? Carrying each other's burdens, bearing each other's burdens. But the Spirit of God becomes the cord that binds us all together, that one will show the other what needs to be done. Amen. I don't care how smart you are, how strong you are, how gifted you are, how independent you are. You are not able to fulfill the call of God on your own without pastoral involvement. Again, you're trying to control me. No, I'm telling you what the Word says. We all have different gifts. Amen. And we're to be connected to the body, to the head. It even says the anointing flows, Psalm 133, from the head all the way down to the skirts of the garment, to every part of the body. You want to be anointed, you've got to be part of a church. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself again. And so it gives us governmental oversight in our lives to be part of it. Now, I've been with Pastor Callan now 30 years. 30 years this year, he became my pastor. And I couldn't tell how many times he's spoken into my life. I remember he didn't even know me that well. We just formed Grace Ministries. Well, he knew me pretty well because he put me on the board. We were sitting in a service. We just formed. This would have been 1992, probably March, something like that. And I'm on the front row sitting about 6 or 8 seats down from him, and he passed a note down to me. And written on it was Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5, I believe it is. And on the bottom it says, speak this 6 times every day. God had just told him that I was struggling believing I was hearing God effectively. I knew when I got it what it was talking about, because that's what I've been seeking God on. And he heard God to send me that note, that the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened morning to morning. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. 6 times a day for years. so that I believe that I heard God because my faith developed in the Word. That He's opened my ear to hear His voice. What was that? Pastoral oversight. And He's spoken to my life time and time again. We had a situation about a year and a half ago where somebody had been with us for years left us. Left us in a nasty kind of a way. And we knew deception was involved. And I said to him in a meeting where all the pastors were, one of the pastors meeting, I said, Pastor, I don't ever want to be deceived, Pastor Callahan. He said, you won't be. I said, how do you know that? He says, because you're in divine order. And if you got off track, Spirit of God will tell me and you'll listen. Some people won't listen. And some people think they know better already. Well, see, that's one of the values of it. It helps you be protected from deception. Protected from the pitfalls the enemy would place in front of you that he wants you to fall into, and you'll get that call, or you'll run it by the pastor. You know, if you're making a major decision spiritually or even sometimes in the natural, run it past your leadership so they can tell you what to do. No. Is there anybody here I've ever told a single thing you had to do? Other than my wife. She didn't do it. I never tell anybody what to do. I say, here's your options. Here's what I believe I would do in the same situation. Here's maybe what God's showing me is your best option. But I never tell you what you have to do. You want to know why? Because if it doesn't work, you'll blame me. Amen. Plus, it's got to be your decision. You're to be led of the Spirit with governmental assistance, not control. Amen. And so, that's part of the value of coming into covenant. Number 5. Ephesians chapter 4. We kind of alluded to this one last week, but let's look at it again. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. The word vocation there is just the word calling. What God's called you to. He says, I need you to walk worthy of it. How do you walk worthy of what God's called you to do? Well, I'll give you a hint what you can't do. You just can't decide you can do it yourself and don't need anybody or need any information from God and decide you're going to launch out and do the call of God. It's talking about callings of God. You need the Spirit of God to guide you, the rest of the members of the body of Christ to support you, faith to provide for you. And it's always going to take you beyond yourself. So he says, walk worthy of this vocation. In other words, you need to develop your faith for it. Amen. And train yourself to fulfill whatever God's called you to do. You know, if God's called you to position, study about it. You know, Pastor Nancy operates in the office of a prophet. She's known it for some time. I will guarantee you she's read a whole lot of books about the prophetic. Studied it. Been mentored in it. She lets me speak into her life on it. She's got some giftings that are at a level that I don't operate in near as often as she does. But yet she'll still let me speak into her life regarding what she is operating in. Do you follow me? Is that true? Amen. It's when people see your agreement. You've got to be teachable. He goes on and he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That word long suffering means to put up with people's shortfallings. It means to be patient with people. You want to fulfill your calling, you've got to be able to tolerate people. Here's one of the biggest excuses people have for not coming to church. Well, I was hurt in the church before. Or they made fun of me, or they didn't receive me, or I didn't like what they said to me, or how they looked at me, or they didn't shake my hand, or whatever. Well, see, that is evidence of a lack of long-suffering. The Greek word is makrothumia. It means to be able to tolerate other people. And listen, every one of us has a different personality. And that can seem to be a problem. You know, in my opinion, everybody should have my personality, be like an engineer, think logically and reasonably. But apparently God thought we needed some other gifts in the body. And we need the artistic people and the compassionate people. You follow me? The facilitating. We need all these different gifts. But because your personality is different from mine or somebody else's, it may not seem to link well with them. But when you're a covenant, that doesn't matter. Some people talk a lot. Some people don't talk at all. I still want to see the conversation between Gene and Charles. You talk about a one-sided conversation. You would just get some head nods out of Charles. But you can't let that cause disruption in your walk or your, how can I say, fixed position in the body of Christ. Amen. So when he's talking about fulfilling, listen, here's one of the point I want. When he's talking about fulfilling your calling, he says it's vital you do it with a spirit of meekness. In other words, quit elevating yourself and be willing to put up with everybody else's, what you think are shortfalls or problems. Now, believe it or not, don't be shocked by this. Nobody run out screaming saying it can't be true. There have been people in the past that didn't like me. I felt all the air get sucked out of the room. Didn't like my personality. Thought I was too stern. I've heard I've got one of these resting mean faces. That was from Patty. And it doesn't matter who you come in contact with. You're in covenant with them if they're in the body of Christ. You follow me? I'm talking about truly in the body that you belong to. There's a covenant responsibility to tolerate and to love, even if you don't feel cut, you know, like they're the most cuddly person. I've intentionally changed my nickname to Cuddles just to overcome some of these concerns in everybody. PC, Pastor Cuddles. Verse 3, endeavoring. Endeavoring means to work at it, to give effort to. Endeavoring to keep the bond of the unity of the Spirit, oneness, in the bond of peace. You've got to work this thing. You've got to work covenant. Now let me ask you a question. Connie may raise her hand. She always does on this question. But I bet nobody else does. How many have been married more than about 30 days and never had a conflict with their spouse? Raise your hand. See, there's Connie. I knew, been married like 50 years. She raised her hand like, I've never had a conflict. How long have you been married? 41, okay. Never had a disagreement with your husband. Oh, yeah, I know some of them. Don't even lie on that one. I know about that. I remember some of them. If you've been married very long, you'll have a disagreement with your spouse. Or a conflict or a hurt feeling or, you know, getting a silent treatment for 3 days or whatever. Something's going to happen. Amen? What I'm getting at is real marriage takes work. You know, I'm thinking about this. I have a relative. I won't name him. But I have a relative who's been married for many years. And they really were kind of hard to get along with himself. Really hard to get along with. And apparently his wife had had enough of it. And rather than divorce, one of them lived upstairs, one lived downstairs. And I guess they would pass in the day and they would say some kind words or whatever, but they really didn't dwell together very well. I don't want that kind of marriage. I didn't marry to live on a different floor from my wife. I have a man cave that's like heaven on earth. I rarely go to it. Why? I'm with my wife. Amen. And the point I'm making is if you want a good marriage, you've got to work at it. You've got to put forth some effort. You have to endeavor, is what Paul was talking about, to keep the unity in the relationship, in the bond of peace, right? But then he goes on in verse 4. I need to speed this up. There is one body and one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body, that's the church. One spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And one hope of your calling. God's got one major call on your life. Do you see this? And when Paul shares this, he says in the same verse, and one body. In other words, if you recognize there's a call of any level, doesn't have to be in the church, can be any kind of call in your life, what God wants you to do or become, carry the glory as a call. You cannot do it unless you allow yourself to become knit to the body of Christ. Now, I've told this to people that have had screaming fits on me. I shared this with somebody here probably 9 months ago. And they had a terrible fit and said, we don't believe we have to be part of the church. I said, well, you're believing wrong. Because the whole word, the whole New Testament is about being part of the church. Well, I'm part of the church. We just don't go to a church. I said, well, you're wrong. How can anybody share of your gift you're not bringing to the table? How can you partake of theirs sitting at home? You're wrong. Now, I understand there's no church around, but you can join a church online now that is good. But be part of a church and get your gifts involved and connected to it. Amen. Because until you become part of that God-assigned church, you can never step into the full high calling of God on your life. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want to get to heaven and God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You finished your high calling. As Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of glory. I want what God has for me. I don't want to just slip in. I'm not looking to have a cabin in a corner of glory. If God made this available to me, I want to max it out. How many of you would be happy if your kids just said, well, Mom and Dad, you know, I really don't want to succeed in anything. I just want to live in the basement for the rest of my life. And, you know, you guys can provide for me. And, you know, hope you're proud of me. You'd be saying some words. Amen. Get out and get a job. Find out what you're to do and to become and get it. Get it done. Well, how do you think God feels about Christians just want to slip into heaven? It's the same situation. He gave you all these giftings, all these talents, all this possibility, all this faith and grace available. And people just want to like, well, listen, they don't say this, but this is what they're saying when they choose to act like this. I just really want to just be a surface Christian. How does it sound when you say that? But how many people, their life and effort to follow God demonstrates that? And here's what happens. You know what happens when there are surface Christians? They have to put on a facade of righteousness. They have to act like they're holy or spiritual or love Jesus when they don't even know Him. Because if you really know Jesus, you're going to follow Him with everything that you have. Amen. He'll become the very source of everything that you do, the focal point of everything that you do, if you really know Him. And true relationship with Jesus totally obliterates surface Christianity. So we've gone through five so far. Bonds the body together, provides foundation for growth, provides for intimacy, governmental oversight, allows us to fulfill our high call. I want to read through the rest of these tonight. We're going to teach them in the following weeks, but next week I'm gone. Pastor Nancy's going to share with you. Amen. And she's got some surprises for you. I know. I want to read through the rest of these I've got written down. I'm not going to teach on them, but just to read through it so you'll know why you need to come back. Number six is a covering system of prayer for your life. It provides the intercessory covering over your life. Number seven, the power of agreement. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Number eight, assures love can flow to your life. God's commanded us to come together as the body of Christ, and it links us together in a fashion that the agape love of God can flow into us and through us. Number nine, There is a corporate anointing. You can access more of the presence, the power of God when you come to church than you can at home. Amen. Number 10, brings the glory. All the prophetic declarations of the coming glory talk about a united church, a united body. Number 11, places boundaries on the mind as to what is acceptable thought. Let me talk about this one just for a second to mention what I'm talking about. Job said in Job 31:1, is it 31? Let me make sure. Job 31:1, he says, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I therefore think on a maid? Let me explain this. I'm in covenant with my wife. My wife. We've been married 33 years. In 33 years, I've never flirted with another woman. I've never dreamed or imagined being with another woman, sleeping with another woman. I refuse to go there. Do you follow me? I refuse to stare at other women or think about other women. Why? I've got a covenant going on, and I've got to guard what I think to line up with that covenant. Otherwise, you'll get yourself in trouble. Amen. 33 years of no pornography. Why? It's a covenant thing. Well, the same thing's true in the body of Christ. It comes out of bounds. See, I tell you what I'm going to teach on, but here we go. It becomes out of bounds to think, well, I'm just going to find me another pastor. They hurt my feelings. Another church, whatever. You just don't go that direction. Amen. Number 12, covers our weaknesses. In the marriage, it's amazing how many people, they've done studies and found that it's almost universally true. You marry people that are different from you. Not just physically, but mentally, even socially. And my wife has gifts of compassion I don't have. I'm a compassionate, loving person, but she's over the top with it. But I've got some facilitating skills and at least bug-killing skills she doesn't have. Amen. So she could cut my hair and I'd kill the bugs. So what happens? You cover each other's weaknesses in the covenant. Same thing is true in the body of Christ. We all have different giftings. We come together, it covers all the weaknesses. Nothing gets undone. And number 13, the last one, is accountability. See, if you start missing church, I don't have to call you. Well, somebody else will call you. A lot of you guys are on the phone all the time saying, where were you? You missed this. What can I, you know, and you can even say, help me with this, or, you know, I'm having trouble here. And you guys will keep each other accountable. You can't do that outside of covenant. You know what happens if you try to become accountable outside of covenant? You become a source of gossip. Do you know what's been going on in their lives? They wanted me to hold them accountable, but I'll tell you what, this is the craziest thing I ever heard. What was that story? It's time to close, but give me just a second. I got to think of this story. About the three preachers, priests, or whatever, that three or four of them, Pastor Cannon told the story, I'm trying to remember. They got together and they were sharing about some of the difficulties they've gone through. They were talking about how much they've shared with each other, you know, or they really have nobody to share with what's really in their heart. That, you know, a lot they do counseling and they're always counseling people and people are sharing their weaknesses and difficulties of life with them. They said, we really have nobody to share these things with. And they decided, well, you know, let's just come together and decide. We'll share with each other what our weaknesses and our flaws are. So we have somebody we can at least voice things to. Are you with me? And so the first one went and he says, well, I just want to tell you that I've always struggled with lust and pornography. And I've had a few affairs. And, you know, just want to share that. I feel so much better I've shared that with you. This is not me. This is the joke. Nobody listen. I hope nobody cuts into this tape right at this point. Make it clear. The other one says, well, you know, I've had a problem with greed and I've been embezzling from the church for several years. And the third one says, I've always had a problem with gossip and I can't wait to see the other guys. Or keeping a secret. I've had trouble keeping a secret, I suppose. Well, praise God. If you got anything out of this tonight, God's brought us together as a body He wants to bring the glory to. And it's not hard, but there is a cost, right? And it's a change in your priorities and activities of life. Well, Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You for Your healing power, Your strengthening power, the power of Your Word. Change us by it. Saturate us with it. In Jesus' name. Casey, come up here. I want to pray for you again.